eyes, and then it was through also the those who had wealth, and we'll see how the wisdom is also uncertainty of future. But when we see that Solomon basically, again, discussed the fact that regard to the righteous and the wicked, or regarding to the wise or the unwise, our future is uncertain. It doesn't matter how wise you may be. It doesn't matter how righteous or unrighteous. We cannot figure out our days. And I've often seen it, and you know, well, the footprints, you know, God carries us with one footprint in the sand, or God's never promised us, 1 Corinthians 10:13, that no temptation has overtaken us that is not common to man, and with God he has made a way out. So all through Scripture, and you can study the men, there is nowhere where we are promised something different than the unsaved living in this world except this: the strength, the power, and the grace to get through it. That's what we have different than the unsaved. We're going to battle our way through the diseases. We're going to battle our way through the craziness of our world. We're going to battle through the inner struggles of sin in our life, just like. And so what we have that they don't is that inner peace, strength, grace that God gives us. So Solomon, I think, is building a case for this. And again, the last we saw that whether you're righteous or unrighteous, you don't know your future. But in verse 11, it begins another section. And this section actually goes all the way to chapter 10, verse 11, which obviously we're not going to study all of that tonight. We're going to break it up. But in this first section of this new section, the new section basically is that wisdom is also subject to the uncertainty of life. We do not know whether our wisdom will help us through that decision or not help us through that decision. And again, 2020 hindsight, right? We all are very smart after we've gone through it and look back and figure out what we could have done different. I don't know of a parent that doesn't do that. I don't know of anybody that doesn't do that in their godly life, spiritual life, or even when you have that opportunity that God gives you to open up to somebody, and you know, you have a chance to witness to somebody, and then all of a sudden, as you wish you could have said that one thing, or you would have moved it on a little different. We always have more wisdom after. And what Solomon is saying is, because you are wise, that doesn't say that you're going to have any success in your future. Because even the wise people, look at Solomon, look where he's at. He was the wisest man on earth at his time frame, and he still blew it. He still didn't do it right, and he had all the resources at his fingertips. So Solomon is becoming transparent, I think, with his own life, and now he's going to go to, again, the wisdom. Solomon was the wisest man. Solomon had tremendous wisdom. So when we see in verse 11 and 12, this wisdom, he's going to say, is subject to the uncertainty of the future also. Verse 11 says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happens to all them all. Now, in that verse, it's kind of crazy. You could really do a phenomenal five-point message out of that verse. But in that verse, the fact is that wisdom is subject to the future. Uncertainty is introduced in this. And how he introduces it is he gives us five human abilities in this verse. There are five different things listed. So if we go back to the verse and we see the race, the battle, the bread or the wise, the riches, and basically the skill of men. Those five things listed in that verse, Solomon is saying the human abilities. And I guarantee you, everything that you know or do or acquire is going to be listed in one of those five abilities. He has just listed life for every one of us. So putting that into perspective, as I studied this, first thing that caught my attention is I returned. What did he return to? What did he go back to? Why would that scripture say in there, I returned? Well, to me, he's returning back to the thought process that man cannot know the future. Man has no way of understanding. So he's returning back to this. Listen, this is one of those things that you ever have something in your back of your mind that just bugs you and bugs you. Maybe it'd be a name of somebody, you know, that somebody asks, hey, what's their name? And you got that name. And sometimes, you know, I'm talking to people, I'll say, that name is written right there. Can you see it? You know, you got it on the tip of your tongue, but you can't remember it. You know, that Solomon is at a point in his life where he's just thinking and saying, okay, I'm going to go back to this thought. I'm going to go back to this point because it's really frustrating to me why I am the wisest man and yet I have no idea what tomorrow holds. So as he's returning back and he saw under the sun, now we understand that phrase, what that phrase means, under the sun simply means on earth, anything on earth. So he says that repeatedly through this whole letter. So I return back to the thought process while I'm living in this earth. There's five abilities that man has. And so when he mentions those five things, the last three relate to a very wise person. Again, the first two, we just don't want to go back to it just really quickly. The race is not for the swift. We can understand that. Not everybody, you don't have to be the fastest, as they said in Alaska, you don't have to be the fastest person when the bear's chasing the whole group. You just got to beat the last guy. That makes sense? You got to be faster than the last guy. That's all. So when you look at the race, and what Solomon says is even the fastest person cramps, stumbles, falls, and the next one wins. He said even the fastest, the swift, are not guaranteed to win the race. And the second thing is the battle to the strong. Just because they're the strong ones doesn't mean they're going to win the battle. And you can go to any strategic war buff, and he'll tell you about these different battles through the Civil War or the battles, the World Wars, and all these other things. And, you know, boy, this one was winning, but then this guy had a better plan. So the strength doesn't matter because you can't guarantee a win on the strength. So that being said, he then adds in these last three, which deal with wisdom. Again, bread to the wise, riches to understanding, favor to skill. So you have wisdom, understanding, and skill. Those three things have to do with the thought process. I mean, you have to have a knowledge about something to have a skill in it. So all of those dealing with the thought process, basically what he's saying, the wise, the brilliant, and the learned. Those are the three last. The wise, the brilliant, and the learned. They're clueless too. They have no idea how this all works. So as he puts this together again, the food and the riches and all of that putting together, the reason for such failures, he writes in the last part of that verse. But time and chance happens to us all. Now that's interesting. And again, my rabbit trails, you know, my rabbit's getting a little slower, but the trails are still many. So when I'm looking at this, I'm like, okay, he's simply saying here, time and chance. Well, the time would go well with the racers. You know, I mean, in time, you're not going to run as fast as you once did. But I think he's more saying with the longevity of life, with the longevity of life, time happens. Things will happen to you whether you're ready for them or not. Life never stops. And when we want to stop because of something that happened to our life or something going on in our life, we want to just say, okay, world stop. Well, that doesn't happen. You end up being a speed bump because the world just runs you over. And so he's saying time, because time will keep going on. And chance. Now, I'm not a person that plays chances. That's gambling to me, and I don't think that's the right perspective that we need to have. But what he's saying is your turn will come. Every one of us will have a turn at something that this world will throw at us. Everybody will have a chance, whether it be disease, whether it be accidents, whether it be broken bones, whether it be loss, whether it be riches, whether we're all going to have our turn. So the chance of that is, I think, what Solomon's saying, very real. Because of those two events, time and chance, it doesn't matter about your five abilities. You're not going to be able to say it's not going to happen or it is going to happen. And so when he puts that again into a perspective in the latter part of that verse, I think verse 11 is something to just pivot on, study it through, go back and do all you can with that studying, because it's a pivotal point. Because verse 12 says, "For man also knoweth not his time. And the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in the evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them." So what is he trying to get us to picture in our mind? Well, one of the things that we enjoyed doing when Kevin and I was in Alaska, they have a nets that they net the fish. And if you do any kind of documentaries in Alaska, most of them fish with these nets. And what they do is they put them on the banks, probably about maybe, I'd say, 40, 50 feet off the bank, because most of the fish won't swim with the deep current in the middle. They'll stay on the shallow banks. And they have these nets that drop down. And all you just pull the net in, and the holes are just big enough for the fish to go in, and they can't get out. They can't all go all the way through. And so you're just reeling in the fish. In fact, it's interesting, I'll give you a little history, but they have this fish that's like a green and red salmon, and they actually call them dog salmon. And they call them dog salmon is because they're not really good to eat, but yet they smoke them to feed their dogs all winter. And so they catch them, and they catch them in these nets along with the good ones, and they keep them to feed their dogs. I imagine if the man was hungry enough, he'd probably chew it up. But they're basically, and that's what they call it, dog salmon. So when you see that, the net, and he's saying this in verse 12, that the fish are taken in an evil net. They're swimming along, and I don't want to get too Walt Disney on you. They're swimming along, enjoying life. Everything's great. Al and Ethel, you know, right down the old bank they're going, and all of a sudden, that's the picture, the evil, the surprise. They weren't expecting it, and boom, the evil net took them. And they're not getting out, so they end up dog meat. The next phrase says the same thing. Again, not only the fish, but it says in the birds that are caught in the snares. So again, put your mind back into it. I've seen many, many people there. That they're, when they try to ban geese or they try to ban turkeys or transplant them to different places, they put these nets all down in a huge circle, and they put all the corn in the center. And once they got a big flock of birds, they just shoot this net way up and over them. So when they start to fly, they hit the net, and the net falls, and they got the birds. Again, it's the surprise. It's the not expecting that I think Solomon's trying to point out. Because listen, when you wake up in the morning, none of us can imagine what may happen that day. We don't, may have a doctor's visit, feeling great, everything's fine. You go to the doctor's visit, I'm sorry to have to tell you, the surprise, the blind side, we call them. And that's exactly what he's saying in verse 12. Because so are the sons of men snared in an evil time. When your turn comes, the chance you have a turn is very high. When your turn comes, it's just like the fish, just like the bird, it's going to take you by surprise. Because it takes you by surprise, Solomon, go back up into verse 11, there's no way that I can have enough wisdom to plan a surprise. I remember one time when I was driving a school bus a long time ago, I went on emergency only. I will drive in an emergency, because that's when the bus depot was right down here at the bottom of the road, and I was so close when somebody would call off, he'd call me up and I'd go down and drive bus, van, whatever he needed. So one day I drove a van, pulled it in there, parked it, and I went into the shop, and the owner of it simply said, "Hey, can you drive for me next Tuesday?" And I looked at him and I says, "How can you plan an emergency for next Tuesday?" Everybody else laughed, but he didn't. You know Bob. Wendy drove for Bob a while ago, too. So Bob wasn't laughing. But that's the mindset. How can we plan for that kind of a surprise? You can't. And I love the way this analogy puts it into perspective, because I can get this. There's no way that in all my wisdom, all my riches, all my whatevers, all my abilities, that I can plan for the unexpected. And that's exactly what Solomon says. So when we look at this mindset that he's given, and the chance, the misfortune happens to all people, as he said in the bottom of verse 11, and he begins to give tremendous examples that were caught in the snare. And again, all of those evil times, those evil things, explained in the very last phrase of verse 12, when it falleth suddenly upon us. Listen, you know, if we could just wrap our minds around this, we wake up in the morning and we wake up a smiling, we wake up a little joyful, maybe after your half a pot of coffee, but you get enough going in you that you're doing all right. And then the goal of the day is to keep that smile. That's the goal of the day. Because no matter what, you're not going to, and I tell this to people all the time, listen, you cannot control what life is going to give you, but you can control how you respond to it. You want to be joyful? Keep your joy in how you respond. And the psalmist is saying the same thing. The wisdom doesn't matter. Wisdom doesn't give us any advantage. We are subject to an uncertain future. Now, we are to plan. We are to prepare. We are to make sure that we are doing our part. So when all of a sudden someone may plan for retirement and everything's great and, boy, you got all these dreams and all these things you're going to do, and then you retire, and 2 days after you retire, you get in an accident and you all of a sudden now you're in a wheelchair bound. Changed your whole mindset. Changed your whole retirement. Well, you got a choice. Either you're going to buckle to the situation, or that you're going to still remain that joyful because how you respond to it. Again, that, I'm not saying that would be very easy. That would be very difficult for anybody to respond to. Very hard. But that's what life is. Life, God is putting prosperity in adversity. He's doing it so we can't figure out life. But all God wants us to figure out, the only thing God is asking me to figure out, is how I can respond joyfully. That's it. He's not asking us to figure out how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen. He's not asking us to figure out how we can stop anything from happening, because we can't. But we can figure out how I can remain joyful in the midst of it. See, that's the grace, the strength, and the power that we have that the world doesn't. That's why we can stand back up as Christians. That's why we can have that inner joy. Paul says that although the outward man perish, the inward man can be renewed day by day. That's the inward renewing day by day. And Solomon, in all of his wisdom, he returned back to this thought. And he returned back to this concept and simply saying that even our wisdom is subject to the uncertainty of our future. Wise men, women, will understand how to respond to life, not how to change it. We can't. We can't change life. I'm telling you, you wrap your mind around that. When the blind sides come, first of all, don't be surprised by the suffering. Don't be surprised when your turn comes. Don't be surprised and say, God, why are you doing this to me? God says, you're not going to figure all that out. That's me. But what you can figure out is how you're going to respond to it. And that's where the strength and the grace of God comes. So to me, these two verses, I think, are huge in understanding how you and I need to just make it through this world, make it through this journey of life. And I was mentioning to an individual today about, the bumps in the road. And the one person said, you know what, I should be dead right now. And I don't know why God has allowed me to live. And I'll tell you, I've heard that phrase hundreds of times. And my only response is, I don't know why God has allowed you to live, But I know that's life's journey every day, finding out why God has me here. Not just now, every day. And so we, today, y'all feel healthy? Somewhat. When you feel healthy, you still are trying to figure out, why does God have me here today? Don't wait until God, the blind side comes. God allows that in our life. And then try to figure out why God has you here. That should be something we do every day we wake up. God, why do you have me here? What is my reason, my purpose? Put a smile on somebody's face. Accomplish something. Help someone. Encourage someone. Those are the basic things that we need to be doing every day. But I love the way Solomon brings this together. I can get the evil net and the birds caught in the snare because it's the surprise that destroys you and I. It's the unexpected God why that will destroy you and I and move us off that foundation of having solid faith in our God. So expect, know they're coming. You know, if you go into something knowing a possibility, when it happens, it doesn't take you by surprise as much. So I think that's what Solomon's trying to teach us. And we're going to get down to 13 through 16 next week. And it talks about the wisdom may basically be unrewarded. Even though you do display wisdom, it still may not even amount to much. So let's have a prayer. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the study tonight. And God, I pray that we can just really understand it in a way that allows us to just ponder and think through and be grateful for every day. And Father, we may go through a day and yeah, something hurts or things aren't going.